Donna. Donna has started the recording.
Okay.
I'll just wait another.
We don't have to.
We don't have to, actually.
Nope. Move along.
I'm going to call the meeting to order at, I have 9:02. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll have, I'll make the motion to approve the agenda for Thursday, February 4th, 2021. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Any concerns or adjustments first? Okay, all in favor say aye.
I'm concerned that there's too much on this agenda for us to get through today. to be honest, yeah, so we can try, but...
I am going to try. So,
Ryan is also on the line.
Okay. So all in favor of the agenda, and we'll try to get through it as quick as possible. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Kelly's here. I'm going to jump right to Kelly, DPW report. Kelly, go ahead.
Just a couple things. We have a driveway permit for completion for the signature of the commissioners at 17 East Bergamo. The driveway was done as per requirement, so it's safe to sign off on.
Oh, I see what you did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're all set?
Yeah, no, they did a good job.
Okay. Paul, this is one of your signature items when you can come down. And
okay.
I'll make the motion to approve the driveway permit for operations.
I'll second that. I second it.
Any questions or concerns for Kelly? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Kelly, what else you got?
The other thing is we have someone come and look at the truck today, the 550. My question is, I believe the discussion is this is minimum bid, so we don't go below it.
Yeah.
Is that how that's going to work?
Yep.
So if he wants to haggle, he's going to see the commissioners, or there is no haggle?
There is no haggle. We made a motion, which was approved 29-5. We would have to then revisit our motion to come out of that, and that has to be done in public session. So there's no private haggling.
He wants to
submit a different bid, a lower bid. He can try. I mean, but we'd have to, but that's kind of what we're asking for. That's our minimum that we'd, yeah.
Yeah, that's the reserve.
Jay.
Yeah. Yep.
So if he asks, how long before you lower the bid, or is there going to be a time frame before you lower it, get no takers at that price?
Yeah, so on the two websites that I posted, Craigslist is indefinite. The municibid.com suggests, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks. So I put an end date of February, I want to say 24, 25, is when we close bids. So that would be the Wednesday before the Thursday meeting so that the commissioners could decide on what bids came in and which one to choose.
So if you got none, chances are you're going to lower your requirement?
That is how it would work, yeah.
You can call again?
I wouldn't say that. Don't go tell the guy that.
Well, that's why I can't get involved in this if I'm not going to be able to speak.
Then say I can't speak to it, Kelly, and just tell him that he has to reach out to the board if he has questions. But for you to sit there and say to him, hey, if you wait a couple of weeks, it's going to go down. We haven't heard from anybody else.
No, he wasn't going to say that, but...
The guy's going to ask, and I'm not just going to say, I don't know.
Yeah, so there is a reserve,
well,
and there is a...
Know.
Yeah, there is an end date, and that is the Wednesday before the last Thursday in February, because we did say the end of February would be our time limit. So it would be that Wednesday that we will review all bids. That's all you can say. And then we will decide which bid to choose.
I think for my own safety, I'm going to say nothing. I will say I don't.
Yeah.
The truck.
Yeah.
I'll park it outside. You can kick the tires. You can do whatever you want. I can't say a word because it just sounded like I'm going to get accused of something.
No.
I'm going to stay out of it. I never wanted any part in selling vehicles, so
yeah.
I think it's a good idea if I don't say anything because the guy may come back and say, hey, you guys said this, even if I didn't say it.
Right. So the two websites that it's set up in, we set a reserve bid. That's all we have to decide as the Board of Commissioners. That's what we did, and so that's where it stands. If we don't get that reserve, we will come back on Thursday, the last Thursday of the month, and decide what to do. Okay? Okay, what else you get? You did a good job on the snowstorm, by the way.
Yep, that was a good one. That was fun.
A long one.
Yeah, I don't see anything else coming. They talked about Sunday, but they backed off on that, so.
What about tomorrow?
1 to 3.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just something to push around, but we're out sanding again today to complete that, and we'll be ready for the next one.
Okay.
That's all I really have.
All right. We do have a scheduled 9:30 with Ian and Peter Knudsen. So I'm going to jump right down to some of the administrative issues.
Okay, I have great news.
Oh, go ahead.
We got an email yesterday that our disbursements are showing up. They should be there today or definitely tomorrow.
Okay, $86,935.86.
Yeah.
Now, Dinah's on the phone, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that money will then be transferred into which account?
It goes into the water project, but we have to reimburse the $15,000 to the to the operating budget. Yeah. We had taken
$15,000 from the operating budget.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have the outstanding Jones and Beach bills.
Yep.
That we have the two checks. One of the checks can go out. The other one needs still clarification from Jones and Beach. I reached out to him, but he's never answered. I'll reach out again today to see what he's going to do with the I think it's 1375 bill for contract number 6.
Okay.
This is okay. Dinah. Perfect. I've verified that money has been put in the account this morning.
Woohoo!
The
$1,935,
which brings our balance up to $88,852.90. So that money is in there and available.
Great. That's good news.
And where is that amount? What account is that in, Dinah? $88,000?
The water project.
Hey,
water
project account. It's a project check. It's in the project account. That's
okay.
What Dinah.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Great.
So that would bring us probably pretty close to $245,000 out of the $295,000.
Yep. Okay.
Could you repeat that, Kathy?
Yeah, I think that we've gotten approximately $250,000 out of the $295,000.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yep. Just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. We deal in round numbers.
Yes. That's good. That's very good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, what else you got, Dinah?
I heard back from the Kathy Moore from the Capital Reserve Funds, and that we're on the agenda for the February 11th meeting, and our paperwork should be processed with the checks then.
Okay.
And I did send out those water bills, so they're all set. I think two or three of the water are already shut off, but I'm going to verify with Ian if that's all right.
Yep.
And then go forward with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they weren't necessarily the water bills. They were the water shut-off notices.
Right.
Certified mail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So the shut-off notice.
Right. I'm sorry. Yep.
Okay.
And we have the manifest.
Yep.
And the minutes.
Okay, let's do the minutes first. And we got a few of them here. I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes of January 28th, 2021, as well as the non-public minutes of the same date, January 28, 2021. There were two sets of non-public minutes. that were done on the same day because they legally have to be done separately. So I'll make a motion that we approve the public minutes, commissioners meeting, and the two non-public minutes of 1/28/2021. Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Hold on. I was on mute. Jay, hold on for a sec. Are you sure about that? I think the week before there were three sets of non-public, which we haven't approved. I think last week there was only one.
Right.
I only have one set from last week. The prior week we had three non-publics. We never approved those. This week we had one non-public.
Okay, my bad.
And then on the 26th we had a non-public. Oh, no, those were from the 23rd. I am a little... I'd have to go back now and look back to what exactly we have. But
yeah, the 23rd was that Saturday.
Let's go ahead and approve the two from the 28th, the non-public and the public.
I revise that motion to approve the public and the non-public of 1/28/21. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And then we've got non-public and public from the 23rd. I don't think we ever approved those. Those were that Saturday meeting that we had.
Yeah, that was the Saturday, yeah.
I don't know. We might have approved those last week. I have to go back and see.
Yeah, last week, I'm looking at it right now. Last week, we approved the 21st and the 23rd.
But only last the week. Public. So we need to approve the non-public from the 23rd.
Yes.
Okay, and there were three of them, right? Three non-public?
No, that was just one.
Say it again, Paul?
On the 23rd, there was just one non-public.
Okay. All right, so I'll make the motion to approve the one non-public on the 21st of January, 2021. No, 20, do I have a second?
January 23rd.
I'm sorry, 23rd of 2021. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Kathy, do a second. Okay, I'll vote yes.
All right, yes. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then I don't think on the 21st we had any non-public. I think we're caught up now.
We have three on the 21st, non-public.
Okay,
yeah, three.
Three non-public on the 21st, okay.
So I'll make the motion that we approve the three non-public meetings on January the 21st, 2021.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, very good.
Okay,
to the manifest. We have seven checks totaling $6,450.45. I'll make the motion that we approve the manifest for $6,450.45. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay, has everybody had a chance to review those checks? Everything looks pretty... The one question I do have, which is the first one, the $3,320.71, either Dinah or Donna. Line of credit loan.
Yeah, we only pay the interest.
Yeah, only the interest. And so this was, I know it says tank project, but it's not Reinhardt. It's the tank inspection loan that we took out several years ago.
Yeah.
Is that right, Dinah? Okay.
From 2018.
Yeah.
Yes, because okay. That's the interest payment, the last interest loan. In August, we will begin paying principal and interest for 12 years.
Yes, and your concern to Donna was to make sure that we include those amounts in setting the water bill this year. Is that right?
Well, it does come out of the water budget. It's funded by the water budget. So,
right.
I think that... Yeah, and Dinah, we did discuss that briefly, and you did send me the amount, or sent the office the amount, so we did incorporate that into the 2021 budget. It's like $17,500, I think, is going to be the annual cost going forward.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Okay.
The water budget should be approved so we can send out the water bills the 1st of April. So.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that at our last meeting.
Good.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. What else we got, Donna?
Nothing. I'm just trying to get my stuff done here, and that's about it.
Okay, just got one more check to sign here, and we'll move right on.
This is Dinah. I just wanted to let you know that the Bank of New Hampshire will be sending the automatic payments for the loans over to the office for a signature item next week, probably. So three loans will be set up as automatic payment like you wished.
Great.
Perfect.
All right. And I did have a question, just going back in the agenda. The auditors, do they have they told us when they're planning on starting?
No, I haven't gotten any correspondence from them.
Okay, because we closed our books, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're aware of that as well, right? January 31st. So we should reach out to them because that we will have to coordinate Catherine's time and, of course, the days that she's available,
mm-hmm.
Which might help them when they do start their audit, if they have any questions.
Okay.
So, okay.
Jay, you were supposed to fill out a form for that. There was a questionnaire that you were going to draft. We've talked about. Have you finished that yet? Or
no, I have not.
They're
going
to need that
one.
To start. I mean, you said you would fill it out and see if we all agreed with it, and we're just waiting
for that.
Okay. Because they're going to need that to get started. I think there were some forms a few people had to fill out. I don't know if that's the last one that's outstanding, but I think
Dinah
to get started, they need all that. They're going to need
and
all that information. So.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have no Reinhardt tank project checks to sign today. We received. That's great. And we have no payroll today. So we have a few minutes here.
I have a question for Kelly. Is he still there?
Yes, he is.
We were, because I'm just looking at the agenda. Did we get back another, did you confirm that furnace quote from last week that we discussed, one versus two units? From,
I have a call in Whitelaw. Whitelaw has not returned my call. It must be his home phone. Maybe he's trying after hours, but
okay.
I have a second call
wondered.
In to Grayson
okay.
for him to come give an estimate also. Apparently everyone's busy.
Okay.
I just wondered if you'd heard back. I just didn't know if you'd heard back. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll keep you informed.
Okay. I have not been able to reach anybody for brush cutting, which would have been one of our warrant articles. Now, again, in the minutes of last week, the discussion on the brush cutting over the water lines, and there's two areas in Idlewise. We said we'd come back to it this week and discuss whether that should just be a maintenance item coming out of our budget or whether that should be a warrant article every 5 years. Are we prepared to discuss that right now? Or?
Well, I think we need the amount before we have that discussion. We need to know how much kind of money we're talking about.
And that's what I was hoping to get. So I'm just going to throw out, if it's $5,000, would that fall into something that we believe we should be doing as part of regular maintenance for the water system every 5 years?
I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
Why don't you get the number and then we'll have the discussion?
Yeah.
Why have a hypothetical discussion? Let's wait till you have the number and then decide. We don't have to decide today, do we?
I think that it boils down to the fact that it was on the sanitation survey by DES, so it's something we're required to do, so it's not an elective thing. So if we're required to do it by the state, we have to incorporate it into the budget. Because if the voters say no, then it's no, we can't do it. So I think it's wise to put it into the budget because we have to do it.
Okay.
So whether it's $5,000 or $8,000, we still have to. We're supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's got to get done.
Do we have a line item in the water budget for that kind of work? Like, would it just is there?
We don't. General buildings and grounds. We've got buildings and grounds.
That makes sense. Grounds. Yeah.
Building. Well, we could put a line item in the water budget called building and grounds or grounds. And buildings.
We have it, Jay. We have it.
Yeah.
We have buildings and grounds, and it's set, and we can And then we've got the subcategory for either our operating budget or the water system. So we already have that established.
Right. It's just that I don't think we have any money in the grounds, right? For the
well, that's where we put it. We'd have to put money in there for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the account itself is already established. So I think we do. Yes, we do.
Okay. We got an email this week from a gentleman at number 17 East Bergamo asking the district if we were willing to sell him two district-owned lots that abut his existing property at 17 East Bergamo. The district, just for background, the district owns about 100 lots in Idlewise. And I do recall, I'm just going to give you my history, we used to own tennis courts outside of the village district in what is now called Rockhouse Mountain. And the commissioners one year did go ahead and sell those tennis courts, or the lots that the courts were on, to a private entity with the knowledge that we, the commissioners, have the right to sell and buy property without getting voter approval for that specific purchase or sale. So how do you feel about this individual's request to sell him two abutting lots, as was stated in the email that he sent? My concern is that we don't know if he was going to turn around and sell those lots, or if he was going to turn around and merge those lots with his existing property, or if he was going to keep those lots as green space. There's no definition in his email as to any of those intentions. So,
okay. I spoke with the gentleman, and he has a house on Dorfly.
Yeah.
Dorfly, yeah.
And that's the lots he's discussing, not 17 East Bergamo. He's selling East Bergamo. And he just doesn't, he wants to know that it's either going to be green space or that he has the ability to purchase it so that he can keep his own privacy, basically. So that's why he was inquiring about the two lots that were owned for his Dorfley property, not East Bergamo.
Okay.
So would those potentially be buildable? Would those be buildable lots? Are they on a class 5 or class 6 road?
Class 5 or class 6, they are always buildable.
Right, but are they on a road?
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, there's lots me that aren't on a road that were for sale. Okay, but somebody could.
We should look at. He noted the map and the lot numbers. We should just confirm those too. I'd like to look at the map. So.
Okay.
Either way, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that we will never sell them and keep them green space, and there's no guarantee that he would never turn around and sell them.
Right.
And if we want to keep them as green space, I think we should keep them as green space. And we just tell him that our intent is to keep them as green space, but we're not promising him anything or guaranteeing him anything.
Right. I guess my impression would be if he's asking to purchase these lots, there are other abutters to those as well. And to make them available to one individual, we'd have to really make them available to all abutters, like the town of Madison normally does every so many years when they sell off their tax lots. You have to really notify by certified mail, as I have been notified before, of an abutting lot that has become available for sale and that I could place a bid against. That's a fair way of doing it. But at this time, just to sort of speed up the discussion, I don't think that this current Board of Commissioners has any intentions of selling any lots that we have in Idlewise right now, except for the possibility of presenting to the voters the possible sale of the lodge at some point in time in the future.
I agree with you.
Okay. All right, Paula, how about yourself?
I can't say we haven't discussed it. I mean, maybe we. I'm just being hypothetical here. Maybe we should sell some property. I mean, property is very valuable right now. So if we wanted to raise some funds for, say, reserve accounts or something, or for it might be a good time to sell. I mean, I think we should have a separate discussion on it in a separate meeting, just because I think we got a lot to do today, and it's kind of a new topic.
Well,
but property is selling like hotcakes around here right now. So
I agree with you, Paula.
But Jay, I think my thoughts are is that anytime this has ever been brought up, even though we have the authority to do it, I think the general public would absolutely favor not selling any of the lots. People around here are concerned about how small the lots are, how close the houses are, the usage of the beaches, the additional burden put on the water system. I really think the public would be very upset if we ended up selling lots to individuals, even though this situation, he's saying that it's not going to be developed, but to sell property that would potentially be resold, be built on, I don't think is advisable.
I mean,
why don't we do
Dorfley
we add
Road
a public...
Guys, Dorfley Road has one house on it. Probably
right.
Not.
Yeah. But,
I mean,
yeah,
I
but
I
it's the beach.
There.
Is the yeah.
I'm
so,
just saying, I know, I'm just saying, I hear what you're saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm looking at these... By the way, one of these lots is the lot on the corner of Schweiz. I'm looking at the map right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny that it's marked on Dorfley Road because it's not. It's Riggy Drive. It's not on
but you
Dorfley.
Know what? So, Jay, when we have our budget hearing this year, just bring it up. Say, look, we've been asked by some individuals about purchasing district-owned lots and just get, the temperature of the public.
No, exactly. No, I always want to approach the voters first. It's their property.
Yeah.
It's not ours.
Yeah.
Even though we have the authority to sell it, I'd rather get their consent. Yep.
I think I think his email is wrong because the second lot he's talking about, 10466, is actually on Clemens Place over by Oak Ridge. I think he probably means 10566.
Okay.
Because if he's talking about this house, it's a totally different part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there might be a typo in his thing.
Should our response be to him?
At this time, we have no intentions of selling any of the village district-owned property.
Yep, that's up.
Okay. All right, Donna, do you have... well, actually, you'll put it in the minutes, Paula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was one other thing I just want to catch Kelly before he leaves on the Allstate's paving is putting on a webinar for the municipalities.
Yeah.
I signed up for that only because I thought it was interesting. I mean, I've seen their slides before. I've never been to one of their webinars. But also UNH. So UNH has just put out their agenda for the year as far as training. Do you yourself or does Jeff, do you think you guys want to partake?
We've both been.
You've been through the list?
We've been through the Allstate paving. I've actually been one and two.
Yeah.
So I can't see doing it again.
Okay.
It's mostly about treatments. It's not about paving, about how to treat the pavement after it's been, putting down sealants and sand seals and chip seals and things like that.
It's maintenance.
Yeah.
The only reason I signed up was so that I could become educated, because I'm uneducated.
That's right where we like you to be. No, not that one. If something else comes up, some of these you really need to be hands-on to get the full benefit. I can't see sitting watching a Zoom meeting for 2 hours and you're just not taking the full intent of the course. So I'll pick the ones that I think we should. I do get notified of them. But at this point, like chainsaw safety, that's off it. But without actually being in a room with someone teaching you safety, you just get lost.
Yeah.
And we do pay for it, so I can't see doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It's about 9:30. Who do we have?
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Good day.
Hi,
good morning,
Peter.
Ian.
Good morning, guys. Hey, just I'm on the road for about another 5 to 10 minutes, and then I'll be back to my shop. I just wanted to hop in here at 9:30. So.
All right, we can hear your studded tires.
If you guys have any issue with my phone quality or anything, I'll like I said, I'll be to my shop within the next 5 to 10 minutes.
No, you're good, Ian. Thank you for joining. Yeah. And so I wanted to start this discussion off. This is to be able to provide temporary service through the winter to number 9 Reinhardt Place. The homeowner has requested a temporary service line to be able to run water in the facility, to heat the facility, to do some tile work, mixing of materials that require water, and the curing of those materials with proper temperature. So I first want to touch base on the water ordinance. And it specifically states that there'll be no water hookups after October the 1st. And I know that we received and approved the water application, I believe, on November, hang on, November 1st. Let me get the exact date. I'm sorry, November 12th, 2020. So I want to focus first on the ordinance with the my fellow commissioners as to whether we want to grant waivers to the stipulation of no water hookups in the wintertime. Because if we offer this waiver, it then becomes an open course of policy where we will entertain waivers for hooking up in the wintertime.
Well, Jay, no, that's the whole point of a waiver. I mean, it's like the zoning board. If they offer a variance, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody and his brother can come in now and demand a waiver or a variance because you did it for somebody else. I mean, this is very
right.
specific to a very unusual set of circumstances. Now, you said the application, though, wasn't – I thought the application came in substantially earlier than November. When they did the digging
Well, I know one thing. I know that the hookup was actually made before we approved the application.
Okay.
And that was of no fault of the homeowner or the Board of Commissioners. The private
Correct.
Contractor did that.
I don't think we need to have a vote to entertain a waiver. I mean, I think it says in the ordinance that, you know, the commissioners have the right to do that. So we should listen to the options to see if it makes sense to accommodate the property owner as long as there's no harm to the water system and that the water operator, who, as you said, owns our water system, approves. And we all
mm-hmm.
agreed that trying to dig and connect in the wintertime, we did not want to do that. So we already kind of had that part of the discussion. So if Ian has
yep.
some alternative plans or a way to provide this water so that at least they can get some work done in that house and flush their toilets, we should listen to see what Ian has to say. I mean, the whole point is to listen to the circumstances, which we did last week, and we felt that we wanted to try and help the property owner, which is why we invited him to come back to the meeting with Ian's input.
Okay, and I did reach out to Ian.
And Jay, my only other comment, in addition to what Kat is saying, I think she's right about in terms of setting precedent. I mean, that point is. I also, though, want to say that I don't think it's our responsibility to figure out the solution, okay? So I think if the homeowner wants to go and hire Ian and contract with him and pay his time to figure out a potential solution, they should do that. And then Ian and the homeowner can come to us and say, here's something we'd like to do, and here's our solution. Will you approve it for us? And it won't hurt you, and it won't cost you anything. What concerns me is that we're now in the middle of this whole problem-solving process, and I don't think it's
mm-hmm.
our problem to solve. So I think
right.
we've already used up some of the time that we pay Ian to do work on this, to think about this. And I don't think that that's right. I think this is the homeowner's responsibility, the property owner's responsibility. They want to pay Ian for some time to problem solve on this. That's their business. I don't want to be a part of that. And then they can come to us and say, here's a solution we've cooked up. They're going to have to pay for it. And this is how it's going to affect your water system, and it's not going to cost you a dime. If they want to do that, then I'm willing to listen. I mean, that's what you do with the variance. You go in, you say, here's the problem. Here's my solution. Are you okay with it? But they're coming to us and saying, I have a problem, fix my problem for me. That's not our responsibility. So that's kind of how I would look at it.
Well, the homeowner did present a couple of scenarios in which none of us wanted to agree to, only because we're not the licensed authority. Ian is actually that person, so that's
right.
Why we got Ian involved.
Right, so they can get Ian involved. Right. They can discuss that, come up with a solution with Ian. What concerns me now is that we're spending more time on this. Ian's going to come in. I read his email. It's like, here's three different ways we can do this, and it's very complicated, and I don't want to spend any more time talking about it. I'm not interested in hearing Ian. Ian and the homeowner come to a solution, and they come to an agreement on what the homeowner's going to pay Ian for it, then they can present it to us. But I don't want to sit here and problem solve for another half an hour. I'm not interested. Better things. We got a lot to get done today.
Yeah, the one thing that we are responsible for is the customer service. And one of Ian's, or the proposal by Ian, each one, if you look at it, comes off of that pressurized line that goes to number 5, Reinhardt Place. That is a separate situation in which that home has got a lot of cavitation air in their own pressure system. And now we're being asked to take water volume, and Ian can explain it better than I can. We're going to take some of that water volume coming from that single line, that one-inch line, and give it to another home, which may decrease the flow of water or customer satisfaction to that existing client. So that is something that we have to decide upon. Do we want to impact that client's satisfaction level? Ian, why don't you explain a little bit about that line and what we have to do to it?
Okay, and just bear with me for like 2 seconds, guys. I'm literally hitting just a quick dead zone here. I'm going to be through it in about 20 seconds, but... so if I chop up, just let me know. But so on that proposal, we have about a 5 to 7 gallon per minute pump, in the pump house that was installed inside of the Reinhardt pump house that was installed, as you said, to feed Reinhardt Place. We would have to limit the flow coming out of that in order to not take too much.
Yeah, we lost you.
House number is, I want to say 5. Am I breaking it? I'm through my little dead zone here, and I'm pulling into the shop, so I apologize.
So you said you had to limit the flow, and that's where you dropped.
I think we would want it, right. I think we would want to limit how much water we're trying to pull from that, just so we're not having, you know. Now this is what the scenario that they have a storage tank inside of the house of some sort, you know, a 300-gallon, 400-gallon storage tank inside of their basement. So in other words, instead of allowing a full flow of 10 gallons per minute, just kind of dump the pressure off the system, if they had a storage tank, an atmospheric tank in their basement that they were then repressurizing, we would have, you know, the amount of water we give them is less important. And, you know, this is all keeping in mind that we're looking at temporary, not permanent fixes. So this would allow them to fill that tank, and also keep water to the other customer. You know, we wouldn't be starving that system for water by trying to full dump into that atmospheric tank. And my only concern is if we try to do it off the gravity zone, we just wouldn't, I don't know that there would always be times that the tank height is high enough to get over to that house, depending on where and what elevation they set the tank at and things of that nature.
Okay, what about the bleeder valve, Ian?
So, if we were to run a line over there, we would have to run a bleeder, obviously, if it was a full-time line, because it would be being installed, again, temporarily through that culvert in order to just, you know, get water there, and we just have to have a full-time bleeder to keep it from freezing.
Okay, we have Kelly here, and he just raised his eyebrows on the word culvert. I believe that old culvert that was never operating properly, that's no longer there. Is that right?
I don't know if we pulled that out or cut through it or did something to it.
I know it's not functioning either, but I think it just got full of dirt. I think we'd have to, you know, find a way to, you know, and this is not on the district, obviously. This would be through whatever contractor the homeowner picked. They'd have to, you know, we'd be allowing them to try to find an avenue to get through that culvert.
Hey,
it would definitely require some clean out.
Ian, can I just step in for a second as a homeowner?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean to exercise you guys into this giant exercise, but all I need is some water. This week, last weekend, I went up and pumped 70 gallons of water from my car, from home, up and got it in. It got me going. All I'm looking for is a little bit of relief. I don't need a permanent line. I'm not going to dig a line across. It was my understanding that there was an underground line that's connected to my house, and it's just a matter of turning a valve on to get me a little bit of water. If it's harder than that, then we'll move on to something. I guess I got a couple questions. Maybe this would just – when do you think I'll get my water on if I just, like, permanently? Can anyone answer me that?
We can't at the moment because the project's on a winter shutdown, and that's Jake and I have been talking a little bit, but this is there's certainly no steadfast date as to when that winter shutdown's going to lift.
Okay,
so we can't continue work on that. Right. It would be early spring that project is going to be, you know, completed.
Assuming we get the parts that we need.
Right. Have the meters and the pumps come in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this is now.
I'm the only house hooked up to this, so I'm the only one that doesn't have water. And so at some point I'll get water when the pump parts come in, but it could be. So you guys
I would say you're still probably at least eight. I would say you're still at least eight weeks out, give or take. But again, this isn't the district's decision, or they're part of it and lifting it. This is just between, you know, when that lift occurs, and then, you know, having the work completed. So that's
okay.
That I'm not privy to that. I do think we can streamline this to a degree. I understand what the homeowner is looking for is to be able to feed water to his house when he's up to some capacity. What the district wants is to essentially not get over involved in it, and that, you know, makes all the sense. I think all the district needs to decide is if we are going to allow if we're going to allow a temporary solution to this. There's a number of different ways we can go about it. I don't, like, you know, again, we don't need to come up with that solution now. I can tell you one way or another, we can make it so we can feed some water to your house. It's just whether or not the commissioner board, you know, whether it's just pulling a hose from the pump house and feeding a tank in your house, you know, when you're up and charging you X amount per gallon and doing that, and then rolling the hose back up into our pump house and calling it good. Or if it's whatever it is, you know, so this is, I think the decision is if the commissioner board is saying yes or no to us, you know, getting water to that house, or if we're saying we're not going to do that. And that's really all it comes down to. And then as far as I can deal with the commissioner board as far as what we can and can't do with, you know, in order to not put our system at risk and not to do something that would put our, you know, anything like that. So, but as far as, I think the simple decision is if we are or are not going to supply a temporary quote unquote connection there, whether it's a hard connection or a rolled hose. So I think if we make that decision first, we can go from there and then decide if we are, you know, coming up with a solution.
Okay. Can between the homeowner and Ian, can you guys discuss that by yourselves and then get
absolutely.
Back to the commission?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So yep. If you guys decide to do something, I can come up with a solution.
Okay. So Jay, basically what both Paula and Ian are saying is all we should be doing is saying we will give – We agree or disagree to allow for a temporary hookup to 9 Reinhardt. And if we agree to do it, I mean, Paula and I aren't experts in the water. I know you have certainly a better working knowledge of it, but trust Ian to come up with the solution that is acceptable to the property owner without compromising the water system. And the whole idea of trying to tap off to 5, I kind of wasn't in favor of that because they're already struggling with water pressure as it is. So if we allow Ian to work with Peter and come up with a solution, and before he does all that, they just need to know whether we would be in favor of what they decide.
Yeah, okay.
So I think Paul is right about that, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, overly involved in the details of what's going to happen.
Right. All right, so I'm going to, Ian, is it all right if we share your phone number with the homeowner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Ian, I just want to be clear about this, you guys. This we will not pay for one penny of this. for Ian, for your time. Any time you spend, you need to charge the homeowner directly, not to us. We're not going to, don't bill us and have us reimburse, have him reimburse us. You
no, I think the only thing, and you guys won't see any bill
see
on any
bill.
Of this,
okay.
Donna. There won't be anything on a bill. I'm sorry, Paula, and this is very normal. You know, I have to have an involvement, whether this was this homeowner or any other, just to, you know, as far as the preliminary stuff and just that upfront, hey, can we or can we not do this? I do this type of thing all the time in there, just looking at different areas and you know, feasibility. So that's all we've done at this point.
Okay. I just want to be clear, though, that we don't, we're not paying.
Totally understand. You guys will not see a bill on this.
I have a question for us, for the office and for the other commissioners. At what point do homeowners start paying a water bill? Once they pay the $8,000 and they're like, is this house going to get billed for, is this property going to be billed for water this year in April?
In May. No. In May 1st, yes.
No,
May?
Because he's
once they're hooked up to the water system, whether the water's on or not, they would get a water bill. But he's hooked up to the water system, but he's hooked up to the new water system, not the existing water system.
And then I have a
he wouldn't be considered.
I have a question for Peter. Who's going to occupy? Are you going to occupy this home yourself, or are you a builder? Are you going to sell it?
No,
I'm just curious.
It's my home. It's a vacation home. We won't.
For you.
We will not be living. Yes, for me. That's not for profit.
You're not. You're
and
not
I've already paid
the house back. Okay.
No,
okay.
This is for my own personal use. And I've already paid the $8,000, right? So.
Yeah.
And
I understand that, but you're not just so this idea that like you're not paying for you're not going to pay for water next year because we don't send out prorated water bills once the curb stop goes on, do we? So
yes, we do.
We do. So when we turn the water on, we send out the water bill in April. If we turn on his curb stop in June, he'll get a water bill at that point next year.
Yep.
Okay. 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 Good to know.
Yeah, it's kind of in a unique situation. You know, the house across the street from you, Paula, was vacant, but they had the curb stop valves installed 2 years prior. So we kind of worked with them, and they should have been paying the water bill, even though they weren't actually living there and had water. But Peter's house is a little different. He's hooked up to the brand new system that's non-functioning at this point.
No, I understand. I just want to be clear, though, that so I know he paid the $8,000. I just wasn't sure if he was going to pay for water. So that's all.
Right.
So the home across from you, Paula, that is under construction or for sale, that they were hooked up 2 years ago, but they haven't been paying or paying partial. Or what's the deal?
That hasn't occupied yet.
Yeah, that we've already voted on that. We're all set.
Yep.
So they're not paying.
No, they're paying.
Yes,
but they haven't paid in the past 2 years.
Right.
Because there's other situations like it. You give it a one, you got to give it all.
Anyway, right. That's not relevant to this discussion.
No.
Sorry I brought it up.
No, I'll ask offline. I want to see the decision on that. Okay, we got Bob. I'm sorry. So, Peter, we're going to send you Ian's phone number, and you can chat with him and try to come up with a solution, then bring it back to the board.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Wait, right, does Ian have anything else?
Yeah, I just want to get Ian one more time. Ian, water system, how's it running? How's everything going?
No huge updates from last time. Just so you know, Paula, we have all the information on the emergency plan, so you'll be seeing that we just have to put it. I actually have to update the document at this point, but we have all the updated information on that, so you'll have that in short order.
Thank you.
Outside of that, no problem. Outside of that, they're, pretty quiet. We'll be doing pump maintenance. We just got a chemical delivery. I think there was an email came out from Donna. I think we had a slightly low pH. I mean, it was literally just like a perfect timing on a storm on timing where when they filled the tank, we had a little air get in there and it, so in between checks, we lost our prime. So obviously we keep those pH numbers for ourselves. It's not anything that the state's requiring. But anyway, we had that. Everything's back to normal on that front. But we will be doing pump maintenance every time we get the delivery. We just order parts for the pumps. Just kind of that's our timing on it. So we'll be rebuilding both those pumps coming up. That's it. Winters are usually pretty slow. We'll go around, probably do bleeder checks with this thaw that we're having. Just make sure we don't have any pinched off bleeders. And that's all we got for winter work. So I believe we had the leak since, I mean, the leak was before the last time I met with you guys, right?
Yep.
Say that again.
Over on Altdorf. The leak?
Yeah.
Over on Altdorf.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've already covered all that. So, yeah, there's that's all we got.
Okay. Donna had sent out the water usage and water electricity report, and I looked at the numbers, and what I was trying to do is go back in and compare this past January to last year's January when we had the, I believe we still had the old electrical system in the DPW garage. And what I wanted to know is I was trying to figure if the new VFDs were able to reduce our electrical costs. And I'll take this off after the meeting, but what I need is the water usage, the gallon amounts of last year, 2020, from the DPW well. And I'll be able to see if there's been a savings in putting in all those electrical upgrades. All right.
I think that's all
we can give you a rough number, but unfortunately we didn't have a meter on DPW until this new project. So it was always an assumed usage. So you'll have kind of a hard time going, you know, it might not be exactly apples to apples. You know, we might, you know, like I said, whatever number we were using, whether it was, I think it was 175 gallons per minute is what we were assuming on that. How accurate that was, I'm not sure, Jay. So you may find that it's a little bit of skewed data. But you can assume if our usages are pretty similar, we've been pumping the same ratios out of the two buildings for quite some time. And there's always times that changes depending on, you know, some circumstances in the system. But, you know, if our total usage was the same, you can kind of expect that the same amount came out of DPW. That might just be a better way to look at it than trying to dice up the numbers, because you may find that we were over assuming how much water was coming out of DPW.
Yeah, that's good then, because the electrical costs are way down this year on the DPW well as opposed to last year.
Good.
I just don't know how many gallons are impacted by that. So it's good news anyway.
You know what a better way to look at it would be look at how much water pumped out of Jungfrau, because we've had metering on Jungfrau for a long time, and obviously DPW is a direct path to Jungfrau, and 98% of it that goes to Jungfrau goes to Rhinax. So use the Jungfrau numbers.
Where would I get that information?
Yeah, the Jungfrau meter information, is that on the SCADA?
Oh, we have it. I don't believe it. It is on SCADA. I don't know what the logging system of it is. I'll look at it. I'll pull it up on the computer and see what I have for if we can just take like a whole chunk and just say from here to here, or I can just pull the books open and just say, okay, back in January 3rd of last year, where the total usage was this, and you know, anyway, I can get you a total usage out of the stations just off the books.
Okay.
If it's not on the data
logger. I'll do that offline. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Jay, just a quick comment. I think that Just Electric finished up in December of 2019. So I think January of 20 and January of 2021, you're not going to see a big difference, because I think all his work was completed in 2019. So if you compare January of 2019 to January of 20 to January of 21, January of 2019 was prior to any work being done on that DPW well and putting in any of those pumps and VFDs. I would go to January of 2019.
Okay. 20 and 21. Okay. I'll compare
the 19 is really is going to be the high number, hopefully. Okay.
Yep. All right. Moving on. So I think that's all we got for you, Ian, unless Kathy or Paula have anything else.
I do not.
Yeah, I had a quick question. It might be involved, Ian, maybe not. Yeah, I had reviewed the guidelines for excavation, Jay. The Jay had.
I was just going to bring up the same thing. So good.
So I just had to. I think I'm not trying to understand the process. But say you're doing a project like the one you did a few months ago at 8 Idlewise, you know, where they wanted their line connected across the road. So you've got to dig up the road, right? And then you've got to have it repatched. So we would hire. We in the past, you would hire somebody to do that, right? Is that correct? Like Dawson?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yep.
Then how does the billing work for that? Because the homeowner was supposed to pay for that, or do we pay for it because we're putting in the water line and they've paid us the $8,000?
That one specifically, because pavement was an add-on to the project. We broke the pavement section of it out, so yes. $1,500 or whatever it was. The additional work that included the paving was billed to the homeowner. The rest of that work is billed as it's the homeowner doesn't pay unless they hit ledge or anything like that. It's just part of that connection fee.
Got it. Okay. So you sent the bill to the homeowner. And did Dawson?
No, I sent it to the – no, no, because we are always working on, in situations like that. I'm always working for the district. Although that there was additional work involved in it, the district opts to charge or not charge homeowners based on that. You guys had told me ahead of time that the homeowner was going to be responsible for the pavement. So you guys would be billing the homeowner for that pavement work.
Okay, so you bill us, and then we bill the homeowner. Okay.
I bill you bill the homeowner, yep.
Okay. And then how do we, are we following through to make sure those bills are getting paid, Donna? Like, do we get a report every 30 days?
And it's been about 30 days, actually. So I will resend it to him. But it did go out after I got the billing from Ian.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't understand. I thought maybe if you billed them and then you were using us instead. Like Hussein said, you'd had Kelly do that work if he could have. I was just curious of how then we would, how the homeowner would then get billed for that. Okay.
Yep, it goes through you guys.
It would still be through us. Okay. Okay.
So questions on the guidelines for using the DPW for the excavation. I will let you know, Ian, and Kelly can let you know even more than I am. There's a lot of lots in Edelweiss that have been cleared recently for development. We don't have driveway applications for them yet. We don't have water hookup applications yet, but we expect a lot. So what are your concerns or questions with that process? Again, it was a draft, so we can obviously modify it.
I understand that. I mean, so in the past, I mean, I haven't talked to Kelly about this again recently, and if his position's changed, then, you know, we can work inside of that. But in the past, it's always been, the DPW, as helpful as they are in our circumstances and helping us get through the jobs, they never really wanted to be, fully responsible for them. And part of that is, you know, we do have night work, weekend work, you know, whatever stuff that comes up in emergency situations. And also, you know, I mean, a lot of times jobs will run past the end of the day and, you know, digging around water mains and everything else. We've always just decided that the backhoe is, we tried it a few times and it just wasn't the right tool for the job. Now, if you guys, again, want to amend that, we can absolutely talk about that and look at, you know, ways that we can try to use the backhoe more. My concern has always been that, you know, unless we have like a full committal from, you know, Kelly or Jeff or whoever's going to be the emergency contact on that, because the odds of me getting a contractor in for an emergency situation when we're not giving them all the work anymore, it greatly reduces it. And that's just life. You know, I mean, these guys don't have contracts with us. They don't have any, it's my working relationship that gets them to show up on a Sunday at 4 p.m. to fix a leak. Not, you know, It's money, but it's the working relationship. You know, like if that's all they're going to get is the emergency calls, then they're probably not going to come and do the emergency calls. But if they get the, you know, a good account, then we can rely on them. So it's just, that's always been my biggest concern with not having a contractor that I'm giving a good amount of work to in the district, is that we are a system that has emergencies. And if I'm not giving them bulk work, the odds of getting them, and this is anybody, this isn't just Dawson, I mean, that's obviously who I use for all my work. You try to get any contractor in, it's going to be hit or miss. You know, they might feel like it and they might not. And, you know, they're not going to feel like they owe you anything. And so the odds of getting them certainly diminish. So it's just a risk we take.
Yeah, I understand that. Maybe a little more expensive in that one-time emergency situation where Kelly and his crew are out plowing, and you have a water main break during the middle of a snowstorm.
Snowstorm. I mean, this is. I mean, it's any time. I mean, you know, it could be 4th of July, and all of a sudden, you know, we get a call out that we have a break over on Middle Shore. You know, we have to go take care of that, and that can be. It's not just when the guys are tied up, and maybe the guy, you know, the DPW crew is perfectly happy to jump out and come and do that. But I mean, this is something that, you know, Dawson's got 10 guys, so even if he's off on a, you know, on vacation, I have coverage. So, I mean, you're essentially, we're putting it in the hands of, if I don't have, they don't need to, if I'm not giving Dawson all the work, the odds of Dawson coming on 4th of July or sending any of his guys are very slim, right? They're just going to say, well, this isn't an account we really care about anymore. You know, our relationship doesn't matter to that point. So now we're relying on our road crew to have one of the two guys available to show up and run that backhoe. And that's my biggest concern. as far as how long it takes to dig around the mains and the safety of it and everything else, you know, I think in due time we could work around that and we could make it work and, you know, whatever. But I think my biggest concern is having just full coverage on, you know, you guys, we end up with a second operator in some terms with my situation with Dawson, which is very, for me, it's very nice for you guys, and you may not realize how much it is. It's a good situation to have additional coverage. You know, I mean, DES in the current, you know, situation we're in with COVID is very high on having a backup operator for every system, and we essentially have that. So I don't know. It's just something we want to, you know, we want to think about all the different, you know, upsides and downsides of this if we were to decide to move away from a contractor and go to DPW.
Okay. Paul, I think you had some questions as well, or Kathy?
No, that was my only question that I asked earlier.
Okay.
I mean, I hear what Ian's saying, so I guess, Ian, because yeah, when we talked about this a month ago, you were like, this is great. I would like to work with Kelly more, and now you're sort of saying, well, boy, I'm not sure this is such a good idea.
Oh, I'm going off the draft.
Okay, so you're sort of saying it should... So what would be your ideal situation then? I mean, I'm trying to understand.
So I would love to use DPW as often as we can on smaller jobs,
yeah.
Right? On digging up curb valves and repairing curb valves and things of that nature. I think when it comes to the larger scale jobs, we stick with our contractor. And that's the only difference in that draft. And again, I haven't even talked to Kelly about this, so I have no idea on his feelings on it, if it's something he's even interested in. You and Jay and Kelly may have talked about it separately, but we haven't had the conversation in a while, and in the past it wasn't something they were really interested in. So is Kelly still on the phone?
I'm here.
Yeah, Kelly's here.
What's up, Kelly?
Hey.
I don't mean to talk about you in the third person. What are your feelings on it?
I was waiting to hear what you were going to say before I said I was here. I didn't feel the ice going into my back, so it was a good conversation. This is the way I feel.
What's that? Go ahead.
I'm on call 24 hours a day, 365, 367, however many days there are. I think you're right. I think it's a matter of picking and choosing what we can do and what we can't do. I know when you use Dawson or anybody else, you typically have two or three guys that are aiding you to help with different things. We wouldn't
right,
have
laboring.
That. I'd be the guy that showed up, and it'd be me and you, basically, or you and your guy. But
right.
I never said I didn't want to do it, because that's not my place to say I'm not going to do it, because I work for the district. So
sure.
Back in the day when this all happened, we had a brand new backhoe. This was 6 years ago. I was green. Jeff was non-existent. We've come a long way since then. I think we can definitely take on a lot of this, but I think it's up to you to pick what get. You know, I don't think you lose Dawson over losing a little bit of work in here. I hope, but to spread it out a little bit, I think it's a good idea. I have no problem. I'll come in 4th of July.
Yeah, here's my concern, Ian, with some of the things that you had mentioned. In a perfect world, if we had a perfect water system that was brand new, we wouldn't even be considering having an on-hand contractor to address water main breaks, because we wouldn't be having them.
Right.
So I guess my concern is, I think obviously we're looking at, as I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion, is we have the potential this year for a significant amount of water hookups. And I want to be able to utilize Kelly and his crew to do that. He's willing to do it, and I want to take him up on his word. He's proven himself this year in some of the projects that scared the heck out of me, and I just ask that you give him a chance. And again, we can always read.
Yeah, no, I'm not questioning. You know, and I didn't mean to put words into Kelly's mouth. And if that's what you guys want to do, that's absolutely fine. We can absolutely try to pick some of these places and do it. We just, you know, we'll kind of play it by ear a little bit. I think that, you know, if we want to try to start with Kelly, as, you know, we pick out the scenarios that make the most sense to have him do it, and see what happens, see how it goes, and you know, kind of build from there. Like you said, what you put together is a draft, and we may find that it works awesome. We may find that it's a struggle, and we'll just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, perfect. Again, it's just a draft, and we can tweak it. And again, as you'd mentioned just a minute ago, try Kelly, give him a few projects. I think you'll be impressed.
I know. I don't want anyone to think I questioned. Right. No, I get it.
I guess the question is there something in the way that Jay wrote that thing that implies that we're giving Kelly all the work? Because I think we're all in agreement. It sounds like everybody's saying he should do some of it, but not all of it. And you should be the one to pick and choose what you give to him.
I hear you guys. So, I hear you. I just don't want to lose my emergency services contact my primary excavation contractor. That's my only concern.
Is there anything in the guidelines that doesn't account for that, or that's all?
No. I think if we're giving me freedom to choose on these jobs and for Kelly to kind of, then I think we're fine. It's essentially the exact same thing. Okay. We're just going to put a little bit, as we're doing now, we're going to put a little bit more onus on trying to use Kelly on larger actual water main and service lines here or there, depending on the situation. And we haven't done that in the past, so that's the only change. And we'll pick and choose when that makes sense.
Okay.
Great. All right. Great.
Perfect.
Okay. Any further discussion with Ian on anything? All right. Ian, I guess you're a free agent. Thank you, guys.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Too. Okay.
Thanks, Ian.
Bye. We have Bob and...
We have Bob on the line, and
are we all set with Kelly for now?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Am I coming back?
No, we're going to have a non-public amongst the commissioners, and then if you have to come back, it'll be next week. If you have to.
We just roll this into next year's review.
Yeah. We're getting closer.
I just want to let Dinah know I just received the automatic transfers for those accounts if you want to approve them today. There's only one line for a signature. Do all three commissioners have to sign this? Do I make three copies?
What does the line say? Commissioner, authorized person?
It just says signature. It has you as the top one, and then it says signature.
One signature below that, so that'd be one commissioner.
Yeah, and I'll initial it, too, if that makes you feel better.
Okay.
Okay.
So just one is all that's required?
Yeah, I have Chase right there. He can sign it, so when I come down to text, we'll
figure it out.
And I'm going to put my title as well.
What's that, Jay? Just kidding.
you know, a janitor. How's that? Okay. All right. We got Bob Ingram on the line. Thank you, Bob, for calling in.
Good morning.
And I want to talk about the annual meeting. All right. So I sent out some email. Oh, I got to sign that too. I had sent out an email. I had conversed with Louis Adorno from DES about the $20,000 asset management grant. He says that the documentation required, and there's six different forms, is due on April the 30th of this year. I know we haven't set a date if we are to continue with the postponed meeting or go back to the virtual meeting with a new date. But I do want to let you know that the town of Albany is going to be having their annual meeting traditionally, and it's going to be held at the Kennett Middle School in Conway, so the people can see it in the bleachers. So I'm going to just, Bob, I'm going to hand it over to you. You're the moderator. You own this meeting. And go ahead. Give me your concerns.
How many people does that hold? That must hold a lot more than 45 that we're limited to at the school, right?
46 at Madison Elementary.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, how much of a cost is there, and is that something that the village wants to spend? I don't know how much that would be, but it certainly seems like a pretty good option.
Yeah, I actually have the phone number for the Conway Middle School. I was trying to call them before I got to this meeting, but ran out of time. I'm going to call them after the meeting.
Now, there was some concern on I don't know if it was Kathy or Paula or both, about even attending a meeting. So has that changed at all? Do you feel safe going to the middle school?
This is Paula. Well, I mean, I don't know that if it's up to us personally. I won't go to a meeting anywhere. Unless I'm vaccinated. So that's me personally. That's just my personal opinion. But I don't think that the decision should weigh on me. So if there's an option to call in, I'm happy to attend the meeting virtually. I would assume I don't know if we'd still be able to offer that as an option on a meeting. But I personally. I'm not going to take any risks at this point. So to go to a meeting, it's not worth it. So I understand, but I think if we need to have the meeting and you guys all decide you want to, we vote, and even if I vote against it, to have it. So I don't know how Kathy feels, but I'm personally not going to do it.
So people that I know that have called into the New Hampshire vaccine registration,
right.
65 and older, they're pushing the dates out until the end of April.
Right.
So the rest of us that are under 65 are looking at potentially later than that, unless there's a huge influx of vaccines. Jay, you mentioned something about if we move the meeting up, to meet this April 30th deadline, that all three commissioners had to be present at the annual meeting.
Yeah, so going back to the NHMA had put out a posting about the decision of going virtual versus traditional, and I tried to find it again last night, but I read, and I was like amazed to see this, that in a traditional meeting, the elected officials must be physically present per an RSA. So if we decide to go traditional, if the clerk can't make it, the clerk has to appoint a clerk pro tem. If the treasurer can't make it, the treasurer needs to appoint a deputy treasurer. And I didn't say anything about selectmen or commissioners. But I believe as what they call election officials, which is what we become on that day, we have to physically be there under a traditional meeting format.
Okay. All right, so now having said that, I don't think that we should be choosing a date based solely on this asset management grant. Okay,
so,
Before
we go there, Kathy, I have another question, which I'm not sure if we could maybe find out on Saturday at Saturday's meeting, but if we went virtual, are you allowed to have some people together, with the distance, social distancing? Like, how many people do you think, if we had had the virtual meeting and said, for those who do not have computers, you could come to such and such a place, i.e. the Madison School, to participate, is that allowed? And go with the virtual plan and then have a vote following week. So in other words, the virtual meeting, to me, doesn't restrict people from getting together and looking at the computer. My question is, are we at risk or are we liable or anything like that if we were to host? Like, I would be more than willing to go to the school, and I'm guessing that you're probably not going to get more than 20, 25 people that would say, yes, I'm going to go to the school to listen. You know, knowing then they're not going to be able to vote until the following week versus staying at home. I mean, I don't know how many people you've heard from that said, I don't have a computer or I don't have the internet or, you know, what that number might be.
Well, you don't need to have a computer. You can do this by phone. I mean, there was always going to be a dial-in a scenario. You don't have to visually see what's going on. You just have to listen. And everybody has a phone. I mean, I don't think we have to make it available. I mean, because are you all going to huddle around one computer at the school? I mean, I don't know.
I assume we can certainly put it up on the screen. Like anything else.
Oh, I see.
But we have regular meetings. We just project it on the screen.
Yeah.
So everybody
can
see everything that anybody at home watching on the computer can see.
Okay.
Yeah. we would easily be able to allow them to speak because, you know, we're right there to see that. I'm just throwing it as an idea because
I think about pushing it out.
I thought the reasoning for pushing it out until May or June was because there was people that didn't feel they wanted to do the virtual. You know, I guess in my mind I interpreted the communication was that you were getting some responses from the community that they were opposed to the virtual. But if you haven't been getting that, then I say we just do a virtual like we had planned.
Yeah, Kathy, how do you feel about actually going to a meeting? I mean, I should tell you, I could resign the day before the meeting, guys. I don't have to be there. You need two commissioners, and so I can resign. So, Kathy, how do you feel about actually going to a meeting? Because there's
I know. I mean, if you resign the day before the meeting, I don't know how that would affect the ballot and the voting and all of that. So that would raise another whole can of worms. I mean, I'm cautious about the virus. Kevin's getting his vaccine tomorrow, Saturday, so I feel fairly safe. I would attend the meeting if we were socially distanced enough. I would attend the meeting. In person, I don't have any underlying health problems, so I'm not, you know, maybe as concerned as somebody who did have some health issues. And Jay's been vaccinated, so he's getting his second one today. So I don't have an issue with attending a in-person meeting. I don't want to be changing the whole meeting based on this grant. I think, you know, for the safety of everybody in the community, we should, and I think. The chaos of doing a Teams meeting. I mean, we did that little practice session and just the little bit of delay in the conversation and the acknowledging who wants to speak and trying to, and then that whole three-step process. I just think it would be so much smoother to postpone it as late as we can to do a in-person meeting.
My question is your feeling. Like Paula's very pretty set on not attending a meeting. How many people in the community feel that way is the question. And I know you don't have an answer, but I'm just thinking. But I'm wanting to make the decision not based on the commissioners being there or not. My decision for the meeting would be based on the ability for the community to participate. And I sort of agree with you how important it is to have this grant versus allowing the community the opportunity to participate in the meeting.
Bob. There's going to be people like me who don't want to go to a physical meeting. And then there's always going to be people that don't want to participate in the virtual meeting. So whichever way you choose, there's going to be a handful of people that are not going to attend or not going to be happy about it. You're not going to please everybody at the end of the day, given the situation this year. So I think we just have to decide which has maybe the bigger group of opposers, or is it that important to get this grant to go ahead right away? I think if you want the grant, you got to do everything virtually, and you just go back to what we had. We had the plan. We just slide new dates in, and we make it happen, and we keep moving forward. If we forgo the grant, I think Kathy said she wasn't even sure in an email this week that we needed to raise the money from the voters to match the grant. So I think that's another situation. But I think decide which way do you want to go. I mean, I'm fine
with
that.
Let's talk about the grant because I think we might be able to solve that problem and make it a non-issue. So Kathy had brought up the fact that we might not have to put this on a warrant article that we do have, and we do have the authority as a Board of Commissioners to take from a capital reserve fund the $20,000. And I agree with Bob and Kathy and Paula that this should really be a vote of the voters. And I agree with that 100%. But here's the thing that we could do. We could actually take the $20,000 from a capital reserve fund for the water system and then put on as an additional warrant taking $20,000 out of the unassigned fund balance and putting it back into the water system, so it's a wash. You know what I say?
Well, that's what I would say. Yeah.
But what if the voters say no? Jay, what if the voters say no? What if it's voted down?
Yeah, and so if they do say no to replenishing the water system capital reserve fund.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So basically, the RSA that got approved back in, 1990, it said that we have the authority to apply for, receive, and expend grant money, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's what we use with the $295,000. It also said, the very last two sentences in that paragraph say something about expending additional district funds legally. So I'm assuming that means if there's a match of $20,000, do we legally have the right to take $20,000 from a water capital reserve fund and use it for water asset management?
Yes, I think we do.
So I went back. I went back to the old annual meetings back in 2008, 9, and 10 to see where we established the Water System Capital Reserve Fund and what the language was that described what that money was to be used for. And I think 2008 was the oldest meeting minutes that were on the website. So I don't know if anybody has any recollection as to when that Capital Reserve Fund was established, if that's something that Michelle would have from the DRA, just to really make sure that the description of that Capital Reserve Fund account would allow us to use that money to go forward with this asset management program. And I think it's for the health of the water system, so I don't see that anyone would question that, even though it might not specifically say asset management.
Right, but I looked it up, and I read several different things that are on NHMA this morning about capital reserve funds or expendable trust funds. They're both the same. And it did specify, for example, this GIS map that we would receive would be, in fact, a piece of capital, like a mm-hmm. tire for a truck or an engine for a truck. Mm-hmm. It is, in fact, a piece of capital. It would be a working piece of capital. It is something that is definitely needed because we keep digging holes in the wrong side of the street, wasting time and money mm-hmm. trying to find our water lines. We would now know where it is, and it definitely would be worth its weight in gold, and Ian will attest to that. That's what he's been begging for decades.
Yeah. And Jay, of those six forms that you have to fill out, I looked at every single one of them, and one of them said the certificate of authority, and that's basically that RSA that got adopted in 1990. We have the authority to apply for that grant, and I think that's all that they're asking for in that April 30th deadline.
Right. Yep.
And you know, if you have your water committee meeting, if you have the water committee members review that, both Larry and Larry would be another set of eyes on that. So, again, I understand – you know, that we really want to do this, and I think it's obviously in the best interest of the district to do it this coming year, and we did get approved for the grant, and it's a shame to not take advantage of it. But I just feel that I don't want to be scheduling the meeting and forcing it earlier than it needs to be just based on that fact. So if you feel comfortable saying we should fill out the forms, there's nothing in those paperwork, nothing in that paperwork that said vote, you know, show a vote of the voters. There's nothing in it that says that. So I would apply for it and, you know, and schedule our meeting in well, Bob made a suggestion, you know, the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. Let's schedule it for the first week in June.
All right. So
One of the towns, that's my suggestion. That's my paper yesterday there was an article yesterday about all the towns and who was postponing and who wasn't. And I think it was Eaton or Tamworth is postponing, but having it May 15th, and they're going to have it outside. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think as we get, you know, I think that's, you know, obviously there's going to be weather permitting situations if you don't have a tent or if you have a tent. So I do think there are ways we could look at doing this. I thought that was kind of interesting. As for the vaccine, Kathy, you're right about when they're scheduling right now, but they're going to move this stuff up. It's going to move up.
I agree.
But we still don't know when. And I think a lot of people won't be vaccinated until early summer. So there are going to be people. So I do think we'll have to think through that as we get closer. We could pick a date and then say, hey, if we think the weather or there's a tent situation we can do, let's do it outside.
Yeah.
Or Let's get a bigger gym. I got to tell you, even if we have it in May or June, I still think we should look at a bigger gym. I think we should talk to Conway because, I just think that makes sense.
I sort of agree that by having it in the gym, you know, you're indoors, and some people are not going to feel comfortable, but you don't have to worry about weather. You know, you then get a plan, you know.
And you can hear better. I mean, the whole thing is better indoors. Outdoors, I've tried doing outdoor meetings, and it's very difficult.
Right. So why do we need to wait until May or June if we're going to have it indoors in a big area? Just so you think more people will be vaccinated by June?
Yes.
You know? And I think that's probably true. Because I kind of hope that by then there'll be more vaccine out there, you know, to do it. And I'm thinking now that the website that they're going to developing that's going to begin to be used in the next phase should be better than that horrible process that we went through, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So, the funny thing with me, I did get an appointment, but I'm going to Lebanon to get it. But, you know, it was days. I get so frustrated trying to go from site to site, day to day, try to get an appointment. It was crazy. Finally gave up, and then I looked up and I got a phone number, and I called somebody, and he answered, and it was nothing available till April other than in Lebanon. I said, well, that's a problem. I'll go to Lebanon. I just want it. I'll go to Lebanon. What?
Yeah.
But anyway, I do think that by waiting until, you know, we could do it the weekend before Memorial Day if you think that'd be better. I don't know. I just think the later you wait, the more chances that more people will be vaccinated and feeling more comfortable. Yeah. But I don't know. You know,
I agree with that. And you know what? But I think one of the stipulations was, and again, it wasn't a concrete statement, but you know, the sooner we let the public know, the better. So at least they're not in limbo. That they know that okay, this is when the date's going to be. I can now plan for it, and the commissioners have made a decision. So I do think we should pick a date, and I kind of agree with Bob's suggestion. I don't know if there's a difference between before Memorial Day or after Memorial Day. If people are more likely to be around, if kids are out of school, if that matters. I'm not sure where those dates all line up. But I guess it's up to Bob. I mean, it's your meeting, and if you wanted to pick a Saturday.
It really doesn't matter to me whether it's the Saturday before or the Saturday after. I just didn't want it the Saturday of, because I think that people tend to do a lot of different things on that weekend. So, you know, if it makes more sense to have it a little earlier, especially if we're having it indoors at that point, you know, if we're going to have it indoors anyway. I mean, my thinking of June was the later, if it's outside, the later you have it, the better chance of being a little warmer sitting in a tent, you know, kind of thing. But if we're having it inside, I don't think really it's going to make a difference. 2 weeks, you know. So, you know, I would say, okay, let's go with the middle of May and work from that date. Although I think we need to find out
when is Madison
again? The school's available.
Yeah, Madison is May 11th, Tuesday, May 11th, and Saturday, May 15th.
So you'd want the weekend, May 22nd, if you're going to do it after then. You don't want to have it the same day as Madison, obviously.
Right.
So you
want to do it
before
the holiday weekend, right? Yeah.
You want to do it before Madison, as we normally do historically, the week before?
No, I'd rather push it out later. Like Bob said, a couple of weeks, you can have another 10,000 people vaccinated.
All right.
So I would go that 22nd, whatever that Saturday is. And Memorial Day weekend is the following weekend, correct? I don't have a calendar.
The 31st is Memorial Day.
Okay.
31st.
Yeah,
okay.
So the 29th. The 29th is Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
May 22nd.
So just to round up, we're going to take the grant for the asset management water system and just verify that we can do so legally by taking money from the Capital Reserve Fund so that we get that grant. We will discuss and decide next week on whether to include a warrant article to replenish that fund with $20,000 from the unassigned fund balance that was saved this year. That was the intent originally. So that will be up to the voters. So we take that off the table. Now, the actual date proposed for our meeting would be May, what was it again?
22nd.
22nd.
All right, let me just write this down. Okay.
So why don't
I will
we
call,
go back, why don't we back into the, why don't you call and get the date, call the school, call Clinton.
Yep.
And then why don't we back out, we don't have to do it today, but let's back out for next week and confirm all the dates for the hearings and all, for the public hearing and all that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yep.
Okay. We just, that one, I just don't want to back into, I don't know when Easter is this year, so just making sure we're backing into a date for that, that there's nothing on
for all the
calendar.
For all the postings.
Look, I like this, I like the idea we were going to do it during the week, though, too, like on a Thursday night. I thought that made sense. And that we could do virtually, unless you guys, how you, I mean, you guys have the public hearings, even though you're talking about these in-person meetings, you're back to the same situation. So the question is whether, right, how you want to do, if you want to do the hearing virtually and do the meeting live.
Yeah, so if we do
that. I think, Jay, that was your, Jay, I think that was your inquiry to NHMA, that if, how,
yeah, if we do the,
okay.
Right. If we do a traditional meeting in person, and we, I believe under the emergency order number 12, which we're currently operating right now today in this meeting, we can still have our public hearing electronically.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So that would, okay, that would give people that protection, or at least that feeling of protection, so do it from home. And then we just come together at the larger venue, be it the Kennett Gymnasium or wherever it may be, under a tent, to actually deliberate and vote.
Yes. I think that would make the most sense in the world, all the sense in the world.
That's
okay.
Good.
Okay. So if there's a facility available for May 22nd, we'll know that hopefully by Thursday next week. And then if not, we'll move to the following. Well, we'll have to either skip a Saturday and go to that first Saturday in June.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Are you all set with that?
I don't have May 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah, I have all this.
Okay. And I'm going to ask the clerk, Donna McKinnon.
Yeah.
Are you happy with those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Donna's happy as well. So we'll proceed with that plan, just to make sure we can get finalization on location, timing, and authority to expend for that matching grant.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, great. That was a good discussion.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Took a while.
Good.
So this is the water system fund. It's got $71,000 in it, basically. That, I see that's the one we're talking about, the water system fund. Okay.
Yeah.
And we put $25,000 into it because of the underspending of the water budget. So not that that changes anything, but we have contributed $25,000 back to it that was not raised by taxpayer money. So that was all money that came from the water fee and the under expenditure of the water budget.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay. Good.
All right.
I like. All right. Bob, thank you very much. I don't think we have anything else for Bob. Anybody? Donna?
No, we appreciate all your thoughts and participation.
Bob, thank you for your patience.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So we sort of jumped around a little bit, but that's fine. Got a lot accomplished here so far already. So I'm going to go down. Do we want to – any changes as of yet to the proposed budget or warrant articles? I did discuss one just recently today about maybe putting an additional warrant article in to replenish the Water System Capital Reserve Fund just as a show of – really leaving it up to the voters as to where they want that money to have come from.
Okay.
All right. So
wait,
we may add that.
I missed that, Jay. I'm sorry. Say that again. What do
you
want to do?
We have on the warrant article right now, the proposed, we have an article to take $20,000 from the unassigned fund balance to match that grant for asset management.
So you just want to account for that in June is what you're saying. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. To raise the money to replenish that. Yeah. So we're just
changing that
things around
that one article. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All
right. And we don't have any signatures other than the bank one that just came in.
Nope. The driveway for operations.
Yep. Hold on. Sorry about that.
That was it.
Okay. And the, yeah, the bank and the...
Yep.
Ah, great. Sorry, can't go. No, not me.
Okay.
Motor vehicle accident. Okay, so I'm going to jump right down to the commissioner's reports. So we have the proposed guidelines. We talked about that. I think we have good resolve on that. $20,000 asset management grant. I think we have resolve on that. I still haven't done anything with the Wright Pierce. With a couple of things with Wright Pierce. They sent me a correspondence this week. I got to forward it to you. There was also a voicemail they left me. They're still looking for something else, but they didn't say what. So I got to call Stephanie back to find out what that is. And then we have that on-call engineering services agreement. We don't have to sign that right away.
We
I had
that
some
last.
Questions about that. I reviewed it last night.
Yep.
You don't have to answer them now. Just things to think about. I noticed that where they're located is like in Topsham, Maine, I think, and I don't know if that's where they all work or live, but, you know, if they're traveling for us, it's 81 miles and it's an hour and 45 minutes. So, and I looked at their billing rates. So at their highest billing rates, which is up to 200, over 200 an hour, you know, that's 4 hours of travel time if they come here for a meeting. So keep in mind that you're basically going to be paying them up to $1,000 in fees for them to travel. And you're going to be paying several hundred dollars in mileage. So I just wanted to point that out. I know with, when we had the firm prior and they were in Concord, they charged less for travel days and they charged, I don't know how they charged mileage, but that's, they're pretty far away and that concerned me a little bit. And I don't know if there probably isn't anybody closer, but something to keep in mind. And then they said in their client section, it says 2.1, we would designate a person who shall have complete authority. So also something to keep in mind. I mean, that merely means that there is one person on the board that would be appointed to have complete authority to give them direction and make approvals and whatnot, which might be fine. And then also the engineer retains ownership of all drawings, plans, et cetera. So that any plans they give us, we don't own, and they own. And my concern is that you have an engineering project that they do, and then we execute it. So I didn't read the whole thing in detail. A couple of those things just caught my eye. To me, this is the kind of agreement I would want an attorney to review. I think, you know, when you think about how we spend our attorney's fees, I think we, you know, this is a wise thing for an attorney to review a contract like this. Because, you know, it did say for all any legal issues that come up, it would be adjudicated in the state of New Hampshire. I was looking for that because knowing they're located in Maine. But they did state New Hampshire. But I think it would be worthwhile for an attorney to review this contract. And those were my few little concerns or just sort of, you know, yellow light kind of went on like, okay, is this standard? You know, is this negotiable? I don't know.
Yeah, so good point, Paula. I know they do have an office in, I believe it's Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The other thing that I found out was that when I was transferring some drawings to Chris Albert on the topography of Little Loop and the drainage issues over there, Chris actually is a consultant to Wright & Pierce, and Chris mentioned that he's usually what they call, what he calls, his boots on the ground. So Chris would be, if they choose Chris could be, because he's already familiar with Idlewise, be the person that actually comes to Idlewise as the boots on the ground to do measurements or whatever else it is. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'd ask you to make a motion if you don't mind, or I can make it, that we send this agreement to our attorney now, next week, for him to review, give us comments and feedback.
I mean,
do you want to make?
Do we need a motion for that? Or I guess.
I think it would be wise in this case.
Okay.
Yeah, it is an agreement. And do you want to make the motion? I'll second
it. I'll make the motion that we send this agreement to our attorney for review, to Chris Bolt. Isn't it Chris?
Yeah, Chris. Yeah. And I'll second that motion.
And how many pages is this agreement?
It's about 12, I think, Kathy. I did not print it. I pulled it up as a PDF, and I thought the same thing before I started reading it. I couldn't. I can't read agreements like this. I don't understand them. I mean, there's so much legal, and I'd say probably 95% of it is standard. I have no idea if the rest of it is. And I think the question would be maybe to the attorney is, you know, we don't want to spend hours on this, but are there any red flags in here or things that strike you as, you know, things we should be concerned about?
Out of
I mean,
ordinary.
I don't know if you guys.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't, because heads or tails.
He's
going like
to,
you know.
Yeah, I think he's going to look at the rates and go, well, if you're willing to accept the rates, you accept the rates. You know, that's not a legal issue. I would want clarification from them about the travels and the billing. You know, are you going to charge us for the hours to drive up time? If it's two people times two plus mileage, I mean, you know, how often does that actually occur that they are leaving their offices and sending somebody that's being billed out at that rate all the way up to Madison and back? Or as Jay said, are you going to be picking someone local, whether it be Chris or somebody else, but somebody that's more local to the area?
Mm-hmm. As I said, I think a lot of these things may be standard. I don't want to spend money on an attorney saying, yeah, that's pretty standard. I don't know what standard is. So, I mean, the other question would be, is there anybody else we can just ask offhand about things like ownership of plans? Like when I used to work with advertising agencies, it always said the same thing. They own all the ideas. You know what I mean? We don't own them. That they're theirs unless we use them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I find
that
odd.
Sorry.
All the other engineering stuff that we pay for, we own. So it's odd
right.
to me that whatever engineering they provide for us that they own.
I mean, you could call and ask them, Jay. Why don't you ask them that question? This was the one thing that struck us. And it was right on the first page. It was one of the first things. And you should read it because maybe I missed something. I mean, you're an engineer. You've probably dealt with more of these contracts before. But it was engineer retains ownership or something. And that was the one that stood out to me. It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that,
in 5 years,
that stood out.
In 5 years, we have to do another.
Yeah. Have to do another plan, and we have to use
right.
them because they have ownership of the plan. And that.
And I think if we ran into this with somebody else too, because with that last firm, because they owned the software to run that program about the pressure, and we couldn't have the data because they owned all our data.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. made. Remember, that was a big problem. And then the other thing too is like, say they do a plan for us, and it says the plan says this is what you should do, and it's going to cost you $10,000, and we'll be the supervising engineers on it, right? So then we got to pay it more to supervise it. And we said, no, Kelly can do this. Like, mm-hmm. we just take the plan and we execute their plan. I mean, I think we can do that, but why don't you ask them about that before we send it? If you want to hold off a week and sending it to the attorney and there's no rush. Why don't you since you're talking to them, just have that conversation with them and say, we've had this problem before. And, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because one of the things that they might be doing for us is the actual ArcGIS asset management mm-hmm. drawing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a deliverable.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that in our hands. And in 5 years, should their firm go belly up for whatever reason, or we decide to make a change, we need to still carry that asset and give it to another firm. Because ArcGIS is a very, it's like Windows 10, right? Everybody uses it. So we need to be able to own that and pass it off onto anyone else we want to update or modify that. So I agree with
mm-hmm.
you. I'll make the phone call. I'll get some answers, and then I'll bring it back to the board this next Thursday.
Okay.
Is that okay?
And ask them about the travel, too. Like, you know, make sure that they understand, like, that would be of concern.
Okay.
Because, you know, you could say, for now it's Chris Albert. We ran into the same situation with the last guys, right? It was Fluit, and they hired Fluit, and then Fluit left. And then we were using the guys from Concourse. So it's all great until they decide they don't want to employ Chris Albert anymore.
Yep. Okay. All right. So let me just run real quick. Oh, so we got a couple of callers, I believe, for the F-550. That'll be good. Question NHMA on electronic public hearing. Okay, Kathy, you're up.
Well, one little thing. I did update the calendar on the website, and I'm not sure why, but it's still stuck on January. So anybody that's accessing the calendar, you know, you have to click on it, and then you can view the full calendar. But why is it not turning over to the new month? So I've got to figure out if that's what you get when you get a free calendar widget. I don't know. But if anybody calls and mentions that, yes, we're aware of it, and we are trying to fix that as quickly as we can. The other thing was we talked about getting a price to survey Little Loop and put a drainage plan together. Chris got the plans from Jay last Thursday. I also got, now I'll forward to the office. It was just a resume of the surveyor that Chris works with. So the two of them together, one will be doing the surveying, and then Chris will overlay on the survey the drainage plan. So that's something that I believe is going forward. There was one other thing I thought. No,
on the agenda,
it
says
things,
motions,
so.
Actions, log.
Oh, the motion, that was it. That was it. So when the three of you, Donna, Jay, Paula, can look through that and just let Donna know which things we know are completed, and then I'll take actions from the minutes from last week and this week and add that to it. I still want to have multiple versions of that log out there. We need to have like one document, but make sure that it's updated and current.
Okay.
Okay, that was the things that I have. Thank you.
Okay, Paula, you're up.
I mean, all I have is I wanted to call in non-public later. We have 10 people reply to our ad for the part-time admin. I reviewed all the resumes. I thought there were 7 that had a lot of promise. I reached out to all 7. I've heard back I've had screening calls with 5 of them. I want to go through one during non-public today and give you my thoughts and talk about scheduling and interviews. So, but I don't want to do that in public. It's
okay. I have you down here under 91A:3 hyphen B hiring. And we're going to have two non-publics today. Okay.
Yep. That's all I have.
Well, that's it?
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Let me just see. I might have had one other thing. Right, Pierce. No, that's all I have. That's it.
All right. We've had quite a bit of correspondence. We've already discussed most of it. We did get a correspondence from Ron Briggs. He's a local surveyor in Conway. And he mentioned, Donna, that he believes he remembers receiving the request for quote, but he had a medical issue and was out. It took some time off. So he's now come back to that. I hope to get something from him soon because we only have that one.
Yep.
I also got some correspondence from Larry Leonard and Larry Sedano, the Water Committee. So we're going to be setting up a Water Committee meeting. You saw the correspondence from Luis Adorno. And we also got a email from Dorothy Wondolowski, and you wanted to know how should we respond to her?
That's all taken care of. That's all taken
care
of.
I know I did that.
Yeah.
Can I have clarification from the board for committee meetings? Do they have to be posted 24 hours? I was... I forget who I was talking to, but they said that committee meetings didn't have to be posted 24 hours.
No, they didn't.
But I was under the assumption any meeting that the, whether it's the Board of Commissioners or, Water Committee or whatever, had to be posted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am
that
I
is
correct?
True.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Okay. So, Donna, let me know. So, Donna, let me know when they decide on a date and a time. I know there was a couple of Tuesdays, but when they decide on the meeting, date and time, make sure that I'm aware of it, and I'll post it on the website, as well as we can take a note on the bulletin boards.
Okay. The only issue I have, like those meetings that they were trying to discuss,
all the correspondence came in like at night. And that was like a Monday night that they wanted to have the meeting for Tuesday. So that's an issue because the meetings have to be posted 24 hours prior to the time of the meeting. So I just want that to be noted that, you know, the office isn't opened at night. And
the office isn't open for these committees.
So
right.
I just
you're
wanted to
committee, just get this straightened out and schedule a meeting and let's get it posted. Let's keep going. Come
on.
Yeah.
Okay,
we got it. 24 hours. What's that? What else have we got? Come on.
Yep.
It shouldn't be so hard to schedule a meeting with three people.
The Peter. We had Peter. Okay, so they're going to resolve that for next week, hopefully. Okay. I don't know of anything else for the public portion of this meeting.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll ask Paul or Kathy, do you have anything? Or Dinah, do you have anything? I'll open up the public comment. Dinah, we still have you on the line, Dinah?
Nope.
Oh, okay, we lost Dinah.
No.
So I don't have anything else for today's public session. And we'll just, I guess, I'll make the motion that we go to non-public under 91A:3-A, which is employee review compensation, that being the reason.
Okay.
We will also...
I'll second that.
Okay. We'll go to that first and then come out of it and then go back into the next one,
okay,
which is hiring.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.